Welcome back. When I met today's guest at a podcasting festival, she had a very common podcasting struggle. She was not managing to get listeners over from her social media to her podcast, in spite of putting a lot of time and effort into her social media posts about that podcast. The things she was relying on included those AI-generated audiograms, you know, the image with a waveform over the top as a highlight of audio from the podcast plays along. You know, sometimes they might get a listen or two here, but they don't necessarily convert to bringing people to your podcast. It was when Michelle connected to her personal brand. She brought her face and her voice to her Instagram and other social media content, and she saw a massive and rapid change in numbers. It was a really big breakthrough for Michelle. Now, these days, Michelle is a seasoned podcast host in the tech space. She's a remote work pioneer with a great story about how she managed to work for some of the world's biggest media companies. Think Fox TV and News Corp. And we like to call her a creative technologist. You'll find out exactly what that means in a few minutes. You'll also listen in for cool ways to grow your own podcast audience if you have one. And why not all podcast guesting opportunities are good opportunities? You'll also hear great tips for navigating your own career opportunities in STEM, that's science, technology, engineering, and maths, or STEAM as it is sometimes referred to, which adds in that A for arts. That is a hill Michelle Ong is prepared to die on. Let's find out why. In today's media landscape, options abound, from traditional platforms like TV and radio to the digital realm, social media, online publications, and podcasts, just like this one. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to the rapid changes in the modern media space. Whether you're a personal brand or corporate entity, staying relevant is key. Join me, a seasoned TV and radio presenter, content creator, and modern media trainer as we navigate this dynamic terrain together. Let's do this. Michelle Ong, hello.
Hello, Carmen.
I'm delighted to have you on this podcast, A, because I've been watching you do your podcasting thing for such a while now. And B, I'm delighted to put you on the other side. You know, you're a podcast host, but it occurs to me maybe you don't get that often an opportunity to be on a podcast. I mean, it's not the first time, but how often do you find yourself guesting on other people's podcasts?
Not that often, but in part, I've been asked and I've said no a few times, because one of the things that you do notice as a podcaster is a lot of people will pitch you for their shows as well. And sometimes you're just not a fit and they just pitch you without, you know, thinking about whether you fit their particular story as well. But yeah, it's something I would like to do more of though.
If it's the right fit. And I Absolutely. Think that's therein lie the first lesson of the podcast today. I think that's a really important piece of information, that if you are looking for guests on your podcast and you go randomly pitching to people without listening to anything they've done, or really understanding if they're going to be a good fit for you, you're going to get that no, or you're probably going to get crickets. Do you give feedback on podcast pitches when you receive them?
It depends. Some of the ones which are a little bit more personalized and it's obvious that they've done a little bit of cursory research, I will reply and say, look, I'm not sure I'm going to be a good fit. What's the angle that you were thinking of? And at least get some feedback from them about what they were thinking at the time when they approached me. But for quite a few, it feels like a spray and pray approach. And they haven't looked at the podcast. They haven't heard of what I've done. They've just gone, okay, this is the title of the show she does. And this is the email we've scraped from the internet. And here is our canned email that we send everybody. In which case, like, no, they get nothing.
Yeah. Fair enough. Good call. Now, we will talk more about Steam Powered, which is your podcast, and really the way that we met. I recall that we met for the first time at the Perth Podcast Festival when I ran a session called Confidence on Camera for Podcasters. It was great to talk to you then. And I recall that the key issue you're facing is that you're doing some social media with video and it wasn't really working for you. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first started doing the podcast, Steam Powered, my main objective was we needed to be able to see the guests, because I interview women who work in STEM fields, science, tech, eng, math and med. And the important thing that I want to convey was visibility. And you can get visibility with video.
Yeah.
So even though the show is on podcast and video format, I like to share the video part. And I'd be creating clips because, you know, great way to share content in short form. But I wasn't getting any results from that. And at the time that I started doing it, I guess it was pre-reels, and I just got no results. I was putting in a lot of work creating these videos, adding little start and end cards to it, and putting, you know, tons of time into getting this thing. But no traction, no reactions, no interactions. And I was doing this for about 6 to 8 months and went, what's the point? This is taking up hours of my time every week. It really isn't worth it.
Mm.
So, you know, coming to see you, talking about how we can get video working for us, it really was very helpful to understand a little bit more about how to do video with social media.
Mm.
And I got so many results from the advice that you gave us. And it really made such a difference in how fast it took for me to make them these days, as well as the kind of reactions and feedback I was getting in terms of metrics from the social media platforms that I was sharing it on. So yeah, it was just quite enlightening.
It made a really big difference quite quickly, which was wonderful feedback for me to hear, of course. You know, merely doing a presentation at a podcast festival, I think we had about 90 minutes in a session together. But that really key learning that for podcasters, when you're talking about results from video content, what's the thing you want? You want more listens, right? So how are you able to track your results?
So that's the interesting thing. Whenever you work with a lot of professional podcasters, they do tell you that social media only really converts maybe 10% to listeners. And I started using Chartable for a shared link for my podcast. And I use that for everywhere that I share it. So I can actually see where people are coming from mm-hmm. to get to the podcast and whether it gets conversions.
So good.
So yeah, true to form, 10%. And that's fine, that's normal. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but you're not expecting a lot. What you're expecting is building community and followers and people who are watching your content in other mediums, because people who are only going to spend a minute listening to you or watching your clips on social media aren't really going to be into a full format podcast. And that's okay, because the important thing is you're getting the message across.
Yeah.
Or you're getting your content out and you're getting visibility.
Yeah. So you're creating that opportunity to build awareness around a brand, really. So listener, as you're tuning in and hearing Michelle speak, I'm sure you're well aware of the fact that we've got a very smart cookie in the room here. Michelle, you and I over the years since the podcast festival have worked together and had so many conversations around what I'm about to read to you. Michelle Ong, creative technologist, entrepreneur, YouTube and podcast host / producer. How hard is it when you do lots and lots of things like you have? There's been a web developer career, a really interesting time in your career where you've worked out of your Perth home around the world doing some very exciting things in mass communications, in media, in web development, and things that you will describe far better than me. How hard is it to describe who you are and what you do these days?
It is near impossible, because you can't elevator pitch all of these aspects in one go and expect people's eyes not to glaze over after the first sentence. It's really quite impossible. I'm trying. I'm getting a feel for it. And it took a while to kind of get the idea that I am a creative technologist. And that's one of the things that came up in a conversation I had with a friend I met on the internet over 10 years ago. And she was hearing what I was doing and went, you know, you'd be ideal for this role at this big company that we won't name called Creative Technologist. And I went, what does that do? And so I looked it up, and it was basically using technology in a creative way, connecting the dots between all the different ways that we can interact in society with technology and making that work in interesting ways and breaking things effectively. And I went, that's me. That's a thing that I do. This is great. So I started thinking more about, you know, who I am in that way and the kind of work that I do. And unfortunately, that title works great for me, but it's vague and weird for other people because I still have to explain what it is.
Yeah, that is the tricky thing. But maybe as awareness around what a creative technologist is and does grows through great work like yours on the Steam Powered podcast and all the other content you make and your advocacy for women in STEM as well and STEAM and the argument around why the A should be there and why we should add all these other categories to it, which we can get into. Like that awareness that you're building through your bank of content and all the other things that you do is part of that journey. You know, there are probably jobs out there that you will do in the future that don't exist now as well. Do you have, I know we're skipping ahead to the forward thoughts, but yeah, do you ever think about what you're going to do as a creative technologist in the future? Like there's a lot ahead of us that's barely been examined yet.
Well, that's the thing. Like when I first went to university doing computer science, The work that I do now didn't exist then. Like, I work with web technologies that were just being created or hadn't even been thought of at the time that I started. So looking forward, I mean, the scope is immense. You could be doing anything because we don't know where technology is going to take us. A lot of people doing any kind of STEM degree or any kind of degree now, their work can apply in so many fields that they wouldn't first imagine. And one of the fun things that comes up recently, especially because WA is getting really big into the space kind of area.
Yeah.
Is there's an organization called Plants in Space. So if you're a biologist, if you do anything, you can apply it in a space context. And I guess for a lot of people, especially in remote cities like Perth, you don't really think that you can apply your stuff in big ways like that. But the world's getting smaller, technology's getting broader. All of the fields are just touching on each other now. Mm-hmm. There is no path that's impossible. There's no path that doesn't exist in what we can do.
It can really get quite meta, can't it? Like, that's what I'm hearing come through. The possibilities really are endless. And I feel very inspired anytime I hear you speak, Michelle, which is why it's so great that you are working on a podcast and giving people access to your brain. Thank you from the entire community for that. You mentioned the remoteness of Perth, the city that you and I find ourselves in and where we met. It used to be a thing that held us back. If you're a kid born or raised in Perth, you sort of viewed it as everything good happens over east or overseas, and I needed to get out as soon as I possibly could. You have managed to work in some really exciting, big success sounding careers and jobs. Talk to me about how you've been able to do that from home.
Yeah. So as a programmer, you know, a lot of the people in this space will go, okay, well, when I graduate, I'm going to go work for, you know, one of the FANGs, one of the big organizations like Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, all of that. It's kind of the dream thing that a lot of us had back at the time and a lot of people still do have. But when I graduated and I worked corporate and I started doing that kind of stuff, I went, yeah, this is cool. This is all right. But, you know, we're kind of limited in Perth, quite frankly, in the kinds of work that we can do in this technological space. We've got banks, we've got internet providers, it's a very narrow scope for the kind of ways you can apply your skill set. And it's getting better now. It's growing. We're getting different industries coming through and we're getting more opportunities to do stuff. But at some point, kind of mid, late 2000s, I kind of got over it and I had a bit of burnout. Corporate life was just not sitting well with me and there was a lot of politics that I couldn't be bothered dealing with anymore. So I went freelance. It was a really terrifying decision. So funny because I was having a meeting with my manager at the time and I'd shuffled into a department I didn't really care for. And he'd been there forever as well. And he just said to me while we were in conversation, so why are you here? And he didn't mean that in a bad way. He meant that as in of what do I, you know, why are you here? As in, what do you want? And I thought about it and went, you know what? That's a really excellent question. And 2 weeks later, I attended my resignation.
Wow.
And he said, I didn't mean it that way. I went, yeah, I know you didn't, but it made me think. And thank you for that. I really appreciate that. So I started my own business, started doing freelance. And I went, well, I'm a tech. Like, why am I limiting myself to applying for jobs just in Perth? You know, my skills are pretty portable. So I started looking online, job boards, applying for things internationally and, you know, everywhere, US, East Coast, all over, wherever there was a job. And, you know, it was hard work. There was a lot of applications, a lot of rejections, a lot of silence. But I started getting jobs from clients overseas and just started building that portfolio over time. And all the while, I was getting seek.com.au and recruiters coming to me saying, oh, I'd love for you to come to work for us. You know, you'd have to move though. It's like, well, why? Why do I have to move? And I said, oh, because we only do like within the city. Like you'd have to move to Sydney, you have to move to Brisbane. Not feeling that, sorry. So I just kept on doing the thing, building my portfolio. And, you know, I started doing consulting, contracting with other groups. And I ended up being able to work in Los Angeles at Fox TV in Nakatomi Plaza or Fox Plaza where they filmed Die Hard. And was there doing dev work for a bit, joined them, building sites for their TV shows. I've worked in New York for News Corp there for Rupert Murdoch's pet iPad app called The Daily, which ended up being the first iPad app that uses subscription services and also had its own Super Bowl commercial. So all of these things were very cool, very awesome. The kind of things that I wouldn't have been able to do if I kept my scope limited to domestic Australian tech industry. And it's just one of those things where if you think that you're limited, you are going to be limited. So yeah, that's just how I ended up being able to find all that cool stuff outside.
I love that. And it's getting me thinking about how all of us can find opportunities in our day-to-day where we're limiting ourselves accidentally. What's your advice for helping us to think bigger?
Basically, just think bigger. Like if you want to do something, make it happen. If it sounds super hard and really kind of philosophical, but you think about what you want to achieve. If you see something that you know, find online or hear about and you go, that's kind of cool. I would love to be able to do that. Figure out how you can make it happen.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to leave where you are geographically to make that happen these days. And it's not just because of COVID, but because there's so many different ways you can apply what you do. And it may not even be in the direct way that you think it is. So your skill sets might take you in a completely other direction, doing something in a completely different way to the way that you've always wanted to do it. And that's cool. That's okay. And, you know, you just have to suck it and see if it works out. Amazing. If it doesn't, you've got new skills to take somewhere else in a different direction entirely again.
A really great scientific approach when you think about it. You know, we've got this capacity to be able to hypothesize and dream big and think, oh, maybe this could be a thing. And then I'm going to experiment. And then even if the experiment doesn't succeed, I've learned something, right? So this is what I think is so important about growing STEM industries, STEM careers, particularly women in STEM careers. We can see why our governments are focused on that through the investment that they're making. For yourself, you know, you're obviously a woman in STEM, but there are probably those of us around you who go, oh, am I a woman in STEM? And I definitely had this conversation with someone recently about what I do, you know, and it's really funny that it's taken me till now to realize that working in these technology-based industries of broadcasting all these years, I didn't regard myself a woman in STEM because I thought, well, I'm more artsy. I'm more your humanities kid, right? And the career I've chosen certainly is that. But there's now, and has been for quite some time, the inclusion of the A for arts in STEAM. But I think what we need to recognize is there's probably a lot more careers that are encompassed in that expression, STEAM or STEM. What does it mean to you to be a person in STEM or a woman in STEM?
Basically being able to think about things in a broader way. So not just in terms of the science, the technology and the engineering, all that STEM stuff.
Yeah.
But it's about how we can apply it for humanity. Because, you know, my big hill is that the A belongs in STEAM, not just because you're looking at the visual and the graphic and the pretty stuff. You know, that's part of it. But it's about the humanity side, because there's no point in doing STEM if you're not thinking about the people you're building for. And the people are about the society, about how we work together, about infrastructure, about policy, about governance, and all those things that people think are boring. But it's like, no, actually, ethics is pretty important. That's actually also very cool. And it's all part of all the work that we do. Research doesn't get done without ethics approval. You can't build society without policy around the way we use technology and what's acceptable and unacceptable. Big conversation happening right now, especially with AI. But STEAM is about encompassing all of these different aspects in different ways, whether it's visual or human or psychological or accessible. So accessibility is another massive thing that I think is an A, because it's about making sure that people are able to have literacy and equity in technology.
Yeah.
So, you know, to me, that's what is being a woman's stand, being able to think about the people side of how we apply all of these things.
Yeah. And you can't get a new piece of technology into use without being able to communicate it effectively, right? You need to be able to convince people that they want to use this piece of technology, or convince governments that they want to fund research into any kind of different science element. So there are just so many interwoven ways through which we need to be better with the A things, with the communication sides. I've also heard that sport can come into STEM. I've heard STEAMs. What do you know about sport being involved in the STEAMs expression?
Well, sports, esports.
Esports.
Like, not just like this esports. There is also, you know, Formula One, cars, engineers, aerodynamics and engineering dynamics, fuel, like all the things around all the sports that we do.
Yeah.
Are heavily around metrics. And you look at even athletes in football, they wear monitors all the time so they can measure what their performance is like, how they can improve it. It also, again, brings back this A part of it.
Mm.
The biometrics also helps them to manage wellness in terms of their players and, you know, what they're going through around outside the sport as well.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff is still very A and it's just everywhere. You can't miss it.
You can't miss it. And we need people to help us decode it like you. So I'm so pleased that you've been a part of My World, Michelle, and joining Modern Media Performer as a program. It's been a real joy to help you muse over just how you describe yourself. And I think one of the things that we have come to as a bit of a conclusion is that the old "it depends" applies. You need to think pretty carefully, don't you, about who your audience is and how you need to talk to them at that specific time. What do you think you've landed on in terms of, I'm already anticipating a very meta answer, but who do you think your audience are?
Well, according to the metrics, my audience are mid to late career women in STEM. And the funny thing is that early on, Spotify was reporting that my audience was male-leaning, like quite heavily, which was a bit odd. So I don't know how that worked.
Yeah.
But yeah, my main audience are the people in mid-career. And as I've been having more conversations, it actually makes a lot more sense because we do have a lot of attrition around the 8 to 10 year mark. Statistically, women bail out of STEM and careers, and not just in STEM, but in other fields as well. At the 8 to 10 year mark, women tend to go, where do I want to go now? Do I want to start a family? How is it going to impact my career going forward? Do I want to change direction? What do I want to do with my life? So having that audience in that bracket, like, yeah, that makes perfect sense now that I've thought about it.
Mm.
But really, it's for anyone who wants to get an idea on what STEM, well, if you have a product for everyone, you have it for no one.
Yeah.
But really, it's for people to understand that there is more to STEM than just what we see at school.
Yeah.
Because the schools are still working on how to give you that scope, but there's so much scope. There's only so much time. So hopefully I'm able to give ideas to a bunch of other people about where we can take what we do and where STEM is around us.
They are really important conversations, and I thank you for taking the time to invest in learning how to communicate that more effectively. You know, whether it's through your storytelling, which we have heard just now is excellent, or whether it's through the content you're making it more targeted, taking that scientific approach to whether or not the short piece of video content that you did spend hours putting together is leading to any genuine conversion so you can do it better. And that is for the good of all of us. That's what I always learn every time I talk to you, Michelle. It's so enlightening. I mean, it'd be silly of me not to ask, have you found value in joining the Modern Media Performer program? Has it helped you on this journey?
Absolutely. And more than just the numbers, like, it has given me an opportunity to reflect on what I want to do with this and where I want to take it. And it's asked me a lot of deep questions that I've had to reflect on, and not what I expected I would have to do. So there's a lot of looking inside, and I've quite appreciated that, because I don't think we spend a lot of time reflecting on our direction and our path enough in general. So yeah, in terms of being able to present myself more confidently in camera and being able to think about myself more confidently internally, I think that's really helped out.
Yeah, definitely. It doesn't often come up unless some random boss at work says, hey, why are you here?
Absolutely.
Rip a story, Michelle. I think we all need to take a little more time to look inward and just find that alignment with the things we're doing day to day. And I'm so glad you've been a part of this process. We had an opportunity through some interruptive health concerns to work with you the entire year on this program. And through both experiences, you've been such a wonderful contributor. So thank you from me to you for helping with that. And thanks for being on the podcast today.
Yeah. And thank you so much, Carmen. Like, you, as others will be telling you, you are a wealth of knowledge and you really do help us grow.
Legend. Thanks, Michelle.
Some good takeaways in that chat from Michelle. Being a woman in STEM, about using it for the good of humanity, and that web of industries that all draw on professionals with skills from the STEAM-related professions. Did you notice that attrition rate in STEM, the 8 to 10 year bailout for women? It's a really important cause that Michelle is putting a lot of effort into changing. You can't help but admire Michelle for her commitment to have the conversations that have helped us all. Now, as you heard there, Michelle took my program, Modern Media Performer. You can find out more about that by visiting my website or just send me an email. It's carmen@carmenbraidwood.com.au. Now, there's just one episode left of season one. This has been a much requested monster. Believe it or not, the two guests that I'm about to introduce you to in the final episode of this first season of Modern Media are people who've never made an appearance on TV necessarily themselves. They're the behind the scenes, the people who help you show up looking your very best. We're going to talk about brand styling on camera so that your presence is always at its optimum. I'm going to introduce you to Bridget Hudson and Nicole Ford.
Don't wear a giant sleeve or a big ruffly thing around your neck. accessories to a minimal. Just keep it sort of simple and classic.
That's next time on Modern Media. See you soon.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to navigating the ever-changing world of media. Dive deeper into today's topics, you can check out the show notes. Or for more details about modern media training, head to carmenbraidwood.com.au. Until next time, keep on shining in the modern media landscape.